Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is February the 20th, 2018. On this Tuesday evening, I hope that my voice finds you safe and sound behind these enemy lines, because it's rife with dangers and traps out there, especially when you consider that slavery was never abolished and you look like me. You always have to be wary of these slave catchers out there. Actually, we'll be talking about one of our main stories. We'll be focusing on the actions of a Baltimore County slave catcher. Not Baltimore, the city, but the county, Baltimore County. It was the county police that responded to the apartment or went to serve a warrant on Corinne Gaines, who is a black woman who lived in Baltimore County until she was gunned down by a slave catcher in 2016, and her five-year-old son nearly murdered as well, when you had a slave catcher shoot through the wall like he was on TV or something, in a movie or something, like he's going to shoot through the wall to take out the bad guy. And who he actually took out was a mother, a young mother of two. So definitely want to look at that story. There are so many layers to that particular story. For those that don't know, Corinne Gaines may have, I'm not really sure, because there's not a lot of information coming from anything she posted online or anything from anyone who knew her have said, but it has been put out there that she was a part of this sovereign citizen movement. Not that she belonged to any organization or any particular movement, but she looked at herself as a sovereign citizen who was not, who was not subject to the laws in the jurisdiction of the corporation known as USA Inc. And, you know, interestingly, as I was doing some research on that, that particular ideology comes from white supremacists. They are the major proponents of that type of ideology. We hear people in the black community who have also picked up on that ideology. And my personal opinions about it is that I have no use for it. I'm not going to get on these airways and lie to you and say that I'm not subject to the laws in the jurisdiction of this evil, evil corporation called USA Inc. You know why? Because I don't have an army to back me up. I don't have any kind of consulate or another nation that's going to fight for my rights or anything of the sort. I was born on this soil. This corporation was here before I got here. Okay, it was here hundreds of years before I got here. And I was born into a system. Doesn't mean I have to like the system. Doesn't mean that I don't want to see the system end. But the truth is the truth. The truth is I'm subject to this system. If I don't want to be subject to this system, then, you know, I think I should leave. Is what I think I should do if I don't want to be subject to this system. I should either leave or I should engage in activity to bring aid in to this evil system that's still practicing slavery. So it's just so many layers to that, and that's an element of her story. For those that don't know, a Baltimore County jury, that a jury is made up of citizens of USA Inc., and they registered to vote, therefore they were entered into, or they had a driver's license issued by the state, and they were entered into a jury pool, and that's how they ended up on the jury that decided to award the family and the son, one of her, she has a son and a daughter, but it was the son, the 5-year-old Cody, who was shot by this slave catcher, but a jury has awarded him and his mother's estate $37 million. Whether or not they see the entire $37 million remains to be seen, as Maryland is one of those states that put a cap on jury awards. But that's what the jury awarded her, based on recognizing her as a citizen of the United States of America with certain inalienable rights. Although these rights get violated day in and day out, in this instance, the jury said that these slave catchers violated her rights, not as a sovereign citizen, not as a member of the Morris Science Temple or anything of that sort, but based on her being a citizen of the United States with the Constitution guaranteeing certain rights. They said that those rights were violated, and it's worth $37 million. Not just her rights, but the rights of her child as well. So lots we could talk about there once we get there to that story. The other story that I want to talk about is this racist terrorist that shot up this school in Florida. Totally preventable shooting. I think that his white skin protected him from being investigated and being prosecuted, and now the results are what the results are. 17 people dead as a result of this gunman. I forget his name. I have his name written down. I'll pull that up. What is his name? Nicholas Cruz, the suspect in this recent school shooting in Florida. And again, 17 people are said to have been killed. This person had a history of practicing racism and committing acts of violence, even acts of domestic violence against his girlfriend, according to some of the students there. Racist comments were posted by him in a quote-unquote private Instagram group chat. He wrote that he hated Jews, even though he may have been a Jew. Well, you know, again, there are some people who believe that Jews are a ethnic group. They are most certainly not. They're a religious group. Anybody can be a Jew. All you need to do is convert. That's all you got to do. All you need to do is convert. Just like, you know, if I'm an atheist and I accept Jesus Christ in my heart and I have converted to become a Christian, although you got various sects in Christianity, or if I converted and became a Muslim or something like the same thing with Jews. You got black Jews, you got white Jews. White Jews are what's dominating Israel right now and oppressing black people in Israel. So I'm not going to say that he was a Jew, even though his parents, his biological parents, seemed to be practicing Jews. But he said that he hated Jews, niggers, and immigrants. Now, that's according to CNN. Again, he was reported for domestic violence and communicating threats by at least one student to the Broward School District. They did absolutely nothing about it. He was not suspended. I see nothing of the sort. Now, he did just recently get suspended, so they're saying that's what, you know, got him upset and made him think that he had a right to take other people's lives. But this person has a history of communicating these threats. There were at least two reports made to the FBI about statements made by Cruz. One was posted in a YouTube comment, and it was reported to the FBI. And then I'm reading that others reported him to the FBI, and the FBI did nothing, you know, just like they did on in the run up to 9/11, when they was getting all this information, and they chose to ignore it, and they blamed it on, oh, our computers can't talk to each other, and other such nonsense. But there were plenty of warnings that this racist terrorist might take the actions that he did, and I'm saying that society seems to have sought to protect the future of this young white supremacist in training at the expense of everyone else. So those are the two main stories that I want to bring to your attention tonight. But before I get into those, I also have other news that I would like to share with you just briefly. And of course, for those that's new to listening to Black Talk Radio News or haven't listened recently, I do share music on this program. So hope you like hip hop and R&B, because that's about the only thing I play. Here's a story that caught my eye actually a week ago. It was a related story when I found out that the U.S. government has set up a Twitter-like social media network, or were attempting to set up a social media network inside of Cuba in order to promote their anti-Cuban government propaganda. U.S. taxpayer funded, of course. So again, as you read all of this fake news about Russian trolls influence the 2016 election, even if Russia, if it turns out that the Russian government was behind that, which I've seen no evidence of that, nor that there was any kind of interference. I mean, just posting information to me isn't interfering. Unless the people who's saying that it's interference is going to acknowledge that they interfere in the elections of other countries all the time. And when I saw that article a couple of weeks ago talking about, they named it after a bird that's native to Cuba. I just can't recall the name of that right now. But they were going to use it to spread, you know, pro-U.S. propaganda, anti-Castro, anti-Cuban government propaganda. And you know, I was like, wow, you know, they just never stopped. They never stopped. But now here's a new article that I came across today. Says that the United States Cuba Internet Task Force exposed as an attack on Cuban sovereignty. So, Workers of the World, what is the, Workers of the World, it's workers.org is the website. And it is a socialist website. Not that I have anything against socialism, but y'all know socialism is a bad word in the United States, according to many people. But yeah, this is a socialist website, just to, you know, let you know what the source is. But I'll just read this quick excerpt. This Workers' World reporter was able to intervene in favor of socialist Cuba as the new Cuba Internet Task Force held its inaugural public meeting on February the 7th in the U.S. State Department's headquarters. The task force conclusions are set up to promote the same violations of Cuba's sovereignty practiced since Cuban revolutionaries toppled the U.S.-backed Batista dictatorship in 1959. Those U.S. tactics aimed at regime change have failed. The mission description of the State Department's task force admits its goal in euphemistic language. The task force will examine the technological challenges and opportunities for expanding internet access in Cuba, including through U.S. federal government support of programs and activities that encourage freedom of expression through independent media and internet freedom. Now, again, this is at the same time that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, has gutted net neutrality rules here in the United States, and there's an ongoing battle concerning that. For those that don't know what net neutrality means, that means that all ISP providers, which I don't really think they are, they're not providing you with the internet. They're just providing you with access to the internet. So I think a proper terminology would be internet access providers, not internet service providers, but so that they could not suppress platforms on the internet, meaning that, hey, let's say Comcast doesn't like the programming that you hear coming across Black Talk Radio Network, whether it's our digital radio station broadcasting from the platform, whether it's a number of the other independent Black radio station managers on the platform, or whether it's just podcasters posting podcasts. Comcast doesn't like what these Black folks are putting out, and they don't want other folks to have access to that type of content. So what would Comcast do to stop people who may be accessing the internet through their service, through their access service? Then they will slow down the traffic going to Black Talk Radio Network, meaning that the platform may take a couple of minutes, it may take 5 minutes, it may take 20 minutes, it may take an hour for the site to fully load up. So net neutrality said that, no, you can't do that. You have to treat all platforms equally, meaning that you can't create two different lanes of internet traffic, a slow lane for those whose content you want to suppress, and a fast lane for those who may pay to be in that fast lane, where their platforms will load up super fast and what have you, right? So while we got the federal government, USA Inc., talking about expanding internet access in Cuba and talking about supporting activities that encourage freedom of expression through independent media, internet freedom, are not practicing that here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. This has got to be one of the most hypocritical nations on the face of the planet to ever have existed. Now, I say that being that this is the only place I've ever lived, so I can't say, I'm just speaking off of my experience, my educated opinion on this nation. So, as was pointed out to these people at the State Department, we don't even have internet access for all Americans. So, where are your priorities? We hear Donald Trump talking about America first, but hey, when it comes to internet access, they seem to put Cuba first. When it comes to expanding the internet infrastructure in a country, they want to sink millions of dollars into Cuba for the nefarious reasons that, this person has already stated. But when it comes to Americans, I'm just reminded mentally that you just had the FCC also cut funding or propose funding cuts to the Lifeline program that provides cheap internet access to people who are in poverty. Let's say they qualify for food stamps or Medicaid or something. Well, then they will also qualify for low-cost internet service access, or also mobile phones and what. So they're cutting funding to that. They don't want millions of poor people to have access to information from independent platforms like Black Talk Radio Network. They don't want poor people to have access to information and what have you. So that hypocrisy, I just had to point that out in that story. Also coming up, there's going to be a event that's taking place. The Africa Cuba event will be taking place in NYC. We got a lot of friends in New York City, very active community, very active activist community, I should say. This comes to you via New York City Jericho Movement, which was started by a former political prisoner of war, who was in the Black Panther Party, but he started the Jericho Movement in order to bring attention to our many political prisoners still behind bars here in the United States. It says, when Africa called, Cuba answered. A special Black History Month forum in Harlem. So this will be going down in Harlem. It says, join the New York Cuba Solidarity Project as we delve into the little known and often ignored history of solidarity between Cuba and Black Afro-Latino communities around the world. Come hear about how you can go to Cuba for May Day with the 49th annual contingent of the Venceremos Brigade. A donation of $5 to $10, but no one will be turned away due to lack of funds. All the proceeds of this event will go to the Brigade Scholarship Fund. A couple of the panelists that will be on hand will be Gail Walker, who is the director of IFCO, Pastors for Peace Caravan, Sophia Elijah Esquire, Reverend Claudia De La Cruz, an activist and educator, and a representative of the Venceremos Brigade, I believe. The host will be Benjamin Ramos. Again, this is going down in NYC. There will also be a demonstration. Let me see. This is Saturday, March the 17th. So you got plenty of time to prepare for it. It will occur from 1:17 p.m. to 2:17 p.m. A demonstration will meet at the corner of East 14th Street and Union Square East. Look for the Cuban flags. So it's asking you to bring your banners, placards, flags, musical instruments, and signs. Come ready to chant and picket. So this is all in support of Cuban sovereignty. Cuba has been a great friend, for those who have studied history, have been a great friend to African independence movements, actually sending not just doctors, but sending soldiers to help Africans fight for their independence from these European colonizers. And so, you know, there's just a long history of collaboration between oppressed Black people and the people of Cuba, many of which are Black themselves as well. So definitely wanted to share that information with you and share that news with you. I'm hoping that Blacks in Business Radio will invite a person on that I'm connected to via what is the name of that? It's like a business network. I can't think of the name of it right now, but that's how I got this information. A person I'm connected to through this business networking platform sent me this message. She's the president of Buy the Block, and this would be a perfect program for Blacks in Business Radio, but this is just information that I think people should have. Let's see, it's talking about building safer communities, join the movement. It was pitched to me as a way to combat gentrification, and I actually mentioned this weeks ago, if not a month or so ago. How do we combat gentrification? What do we mean by gentrification? Where we see traditionally or historic Black communities in the United States where people are being pushed out their homes, and then you have these developers that come in and, you know, they put in the type of condos and housing that's going to raise the property rates that may push out people who can't afford to pay the property taxes. Again, we're all subject to the laws and the jurisdiction of USA Inc. Don't pay your taxes, right? You know, whether it's right or wrong, Don't pay your taxes. They taking the property. That's just the reality of it, man. I don't know why we would want to promote anything else other than the reality of what we face, you know, from this corporation. But a way to combat that, I felt, was to take advantage of crowdfunding, and black people pool their money and buy up, you know, these homes and apartment buildings and in these communities, if you will. And so this is the way that it was pitched to me. But before we take our first music break, I'm just going to, well, I don't know if there's actually any audio in this video, but definitely check out buytheblock.com. It is crowdfunding and they are investing. Let me just pull up how it works so I can give you an explanation. I have posted this in BTRcommunity.com. So what is Buy the Block and how does it work? Buy the Block is a registered crowdfunding intermediary, also known as a portal, under Title III of the Jobs Act of 2012, Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act. Portals are allowed to act as a platform connecting issuers such as real estate developers seeking to crowdfund any type of property. Block developers list their projects, which we vet in advance, and investors can choose which one to invest in. Developers who use Title III are able to raise up to $1 million, subject to certain limits for each investor, depending on such investor's annual income or net worth. For more information on crowdfunding, and they give you the SEC.gov spotlight on crowdfunding. Now, I do remember reporting on this. We brought on a guest from a grassroots organization. I just can't think of his name right now. We'll have to bring him back on. But he first brought this to my attention back in 2012, that one of the few good things that Barack Obama did that came out of his administration was this crowdfunding rules, or I should say this crowdfunding regulation, to make it easier for people to raise funds through crowdfunding online and to invest in things like real estate, job creation, starting businesses and what have you. So it's good to see, you know, that black people are taking advantage of that, and that is what's being represented here on buytheblock.com. Buytheblock.com. I forwarded this to Sister Cece of Blacks in Business Radio and said, you know, they will make a perfect guest for your program, especially with Brother Robert 11X Minor having the background that he does in real estate. So they will be some great people to conduct that interview, and I hope that they will make that interview happen soon, because I'm definitely interested in buying the block, because this just seems like a logical solution to the problem of gentrification. I think I've even mentioned to someone, hell, why don't we go gentrify some of the suburban areas, like the area that I live in, all right, where you have lots of farming, you know, a lot of good land for farming and hunting and stuff like that. Hey, why don't we gentrify the suburbs? Why don't we go, I don't know if you would call this the burbs, though, but why don't we gentrify rural areas, you know? Get our people out these cities and let's go put some tax liens and some other liens on some of this property out here in these rural areas. And, and move our people out to where they can actually have some land to grow some food and engage in some things that will be better for them in the long run, as a term, as opposed to living in these cities and what have you. So definitely looking forward to hearing more about this Buy the Block, although they are talking about investing in the cities and what have you, which, you know, I don't have anything against cities or anything. I just prefer not to live in one. All right, so that's buytheblock.com. Go check that out if you're interested in working with black people and investing in real estate. All right, let me see what else before we take our next break. I mean, take our first music break. Yeah, I'm going to take our first music break. And then when I come back, I do want to share this quick story about war preparations. War preparations against Venezuela as election nears. Now, that headline sounds kind of funny, like you know, they're coming from the perspective of, oh, the United States must protect itself against Venezuela as this election nears. But no, that's not what the headline, that's not what the story is about. But it's more about military coup. The United States may be planning a military attack on Venezuela to stop the president from winning re-election, President Maduro, which most people are predicting he will win, which would mean another 6 years in office for him. So definitely want to share that story. It does impact us, as again, we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. They steal resources from us in what they call tax money, and your tax money is going to pay for stuff like this. So yes, it does concern you. It definitely concerns me. All right, so yeah, we'll just share a little bit from that story when we come back on the other side. Also, let me give out the phone number. The phone number is 704-8 what is the damn phone number, Scotty? Is when you're not used to doing the show every day, I guess, you know, you tend to forget. But it is 802-5056. 704-802-5056. Hit star to unmute yourself. Put yourself in the caller's queue, and we'll definitely come to you. All right, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News as we go into a music break, and we'll be right back on the other side.
Around and get hurt by you, 'cause when I give my love,
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I do have some quick network news that I do want to put out. For those who are podcasters and broadcasters on Black Talk Radio Network, yesterday we did release the January 2018 stat report for the digital radio station Black Talk Radio. But in addition to that, we also include the podcast downloads for those who upload podcasts to the network. So that is out. We have a volunteer in the UK who helps me to put that together. She knows who she is. Thank you, Agent M, for your invaluable service to the Black Talk Media Project. She is now using a new piece of software to help us compile the stats. Hopefully going forward, we'll get them out within the first 5 days, but she has some other stuff going on as she is in school, and she has some exams and stuff, so that kind of contributed to it being late, but it is out now. Check your email as I sent out the email blast, which has the link to the online report. Also, I have been posting new tutorials and moving the broadcasting, I call it the broadcasting school, to the main platform, Black Talk Radio Network. You'll see the tab in the main menu. I just finished up a report because this is what I'm seeing. We have internet radio stations that's being run on the network, but you never hear about their programs because people don't post their promos. And I have a client that's been with me about a year and a half now. The name of their network, they started as a radio program on our digital station, Change Matters. Then the guy decided to learn how to manage a digital radio server, you know, get the equipment to do the own broadcast. And so they launched the Intentional Radio Network, I believe is the name of it. Intentional Radio Network. Yeah, that's the name of it. And so I get emails from his sister, who is the co-producer and co-host, like they got a program coming on tonight. And I had a conversation with her last weekend, and I was saying, why y'all, if nobody knows about your program, then how are we supposed to tune in to listen to it? You know, when you have a live program and they be having some interesting guests that they bring on. And that's because, you know, I don't know about these things unless I catch the email, but I'm like, y'all should be promoting your programs and posting your podcast to Black Talk Radio Network and take advantage of the reach that we have. I mean, we've been around for 9 years now. We have built up a pretty extensive global reach, and I just hate to see clients not taking advantage of the full potential of the platform, because I think a lot of interesting content is being made by Black media producers. But you know, if nobody hears it, then you know, what's the point? So I've been posting promos. I made another video today on showing people how simple it is to post a promo and a podcast to the platform. You know, you're utilizing the service. Why not utilize all of the service so we can help you realize your full potential? Because there are people out there that need to hear and want to hear what we have to say. So I have moved that to, I am in the process of moving all the tutorials from a separate website and putting them right there on Black Talk Radio Network. Let me scroll up. It's under the tab Digital Media School, and it has three different sections: content management, digital radio broadcasting, and podcasting. So that's three different sections, all under Digital Media School. I will be posting some more, updating some tutorials, just trying to make it simpler for people to learn this technology so that we can tell our own stories instead of relying on, you know, corporate media to give us some space on their platforms. Damn that. We can build our own platforms and run our own platforms and not have any filters on our voices, any muzzles on our mouths and what have you. So definitely wanted to get that quick update on this story before I jump into one of my main two stories about Corinne Gaines, the murder of her by a slave catcher in Baltimore County who's still working for the slavers up there. He actually got a promotion, you know. So that's the type of place we live in. Let me go to the phones right quick, because I did announce, you know, the phone lines are open. Area code 702. Thank you for calling in the BTR News. What is on your mind tonight?
Hello, thank you for taking my call. This is Red in Nevada. I just wanted to just make a quick comment about the Buy the Block organization or charity, what have you. I've actually been donating to them, and I know, like, some people, they might be still a little squeamish about donating to different companies or organizations, what have you, but they are really good with sending you emails about their progress. I actually just got an email last week about them wanting to buy them wanting to open up like a nail salon, a nail spa and beauty supply store. So I think that they're a really good organization. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'll mute my line.
Well, before you mute your line, let me ask you a question. You're not donating, are you? You're really an investor, right? Because from what I read and from what I've talked to people involved in that space in the past, this is actual investments and not, you know, donations like people donate to the Black Talk Media Project as a nonprofit. This is actually a for-profit venture, and people can invest and reap the rewards. But there is risk involved, and I like that on the website, as I was reading it earlier today, they were upfront about that and saying, hey, this is a risk, you know, you're investing, you could lose your money, you could, you know, gain some money. So can you clarify that for me? Is this like a nonprofit, or is this a for-profit and people are investing?
It's actually really, like, confuse myself. I actually feel like I'm more so donating. That's how I looked at it. I might have, like, you know, misread it, but I was actually on I think it might have been on Twitter when I first came into contact with them. But it seems like they do speak about investing, but I feel like I actually just donated, not necessarily invested, because it wasn't that much. But that's my, I guess, I really didn't explain it all that well, but I know, like, I feel like I'm just giving, you know, giving money to the organization and not necessarily expecting a return.
Understood.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Understood. All right. Well, thank you. And definitely we're going to try to get them on Blacks in Business Radio. Reached out to Sister Cece today to reach out to them so that we can have these questions answered. But I actually had interviewed a guy. His first name is Marlon. I can't recall his last name, but he was talking about this rule change when it first came into effect and launching a portal to where you would have an opportunity to view certain projects and become investors in those projects. So that's what I'm going off of, as opposed to donating, you know, where you're donating because you want to see Black Talk Radio Network as a nonprofit continue to do what it does in the realm of media, as opposed to, hey, I'm investing in this project and, you know, I'm hoping that in the future I'll get some dividends from that investment. Either way is fine with me. So, yeah. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that information that you share. But we'll try to get them on the network. That story that I was talking about, Venezuela. Why is it telling me not enough memory to open this page? I don't understand that. Let me reload this page from PopularResistance.org. PopularResistance.org. It says war preparations against Venezuela as election near. Since we published, regime change fails, is a military coup or invasion next? We receive more information showing steps toward preparing for a potential military attack on Venezuela. Stopping this war needs to become a top priority for the peace movement. Black Alliance for Peace published a newsletter that reported troubling news of an impending military assault on the sovereign nation of Venezuela by states and forces allied with the United States. Ajamu Baraka, the director, said the U.S. is concerned that President Maduro will win the April 22 election, which would mean six more years in office. Black Alliance for Peace urges people to include no war on Venezuela in actions being planned for February the 16th through the 23rd for the 115th anniversary of the United States occupying Guantanamo. One way to start a war would be a cross-border dispute with Venezuela and Colombia, Brazil, or Guyana. On February 12th, the Maritime Herald reported that Admiral Kurt Kidd, head of the U.S. Southern Command, arrived in Colombia just 2 days after the U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson met with President Juan Manuel Santos as part of Tillerson's unprecedented regime change tour. Tidd met with Colombian Defense Minister Luis Carlos Villegas and other senior officials to coordinate efforts around regional stability with a focus on Venezuela. The Maritime Herald also reports U.S. troops coming to Colombian military bases, paramilitaries coming to Colombian towns along the Venezuela border, plans for a joint naval force between the United States, Colombia, and Mexico, and arrival of a contingent of 415 members of the U.S. Air Force to Panama to create support and logistics points for operations against Venezuela. Also important are two fast-acting U.S. military bases installed in communities of Vichada and La Tacia, Colombia, which are bordering Venezuela. All right, so I posted this in BTR community. You have upcoming elections in Venezuela. The United States going back as far as the Obama administration in recent memory have done things to destabilize Venezuela. They definitely did not like Hugo Chavez. Some people say Hugo Chavez was assassinated. He reportedly died from cancer. Some people feel like he was given that cancer. But they have definitely not been down with the socialist country of Venezuela over the past decade or so. And so, again, when you read these headlines, because I'm telling you, man, I'm getting so sick of people talking about the Russians meddled in the U.S. elections. I'm like, man, I'm just so sick of this propaganda. Just, and then the United States doing stuff like this. Not just in Venezuela, all over the world, all over the planet. Destabilizing countries, overthrowing countries, assassinating leaders. And you got the nerve to be whining incessantly about somebody pushing some propaganda that was unfavorable to Hillary Clinton. Doesn't matter that the propaganda was true, but it just boggles my mind that people keep falling for this. So, yeah, that's that story. All right, let me get to this main story, because time goes by so fast. Only got like 2 hours. So let me pull up this story about Korean gangs. I actually put out a short video yesterday about this, and I touched on some of the topics. So, I mean, I'm interested in everybody's opinions on this. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree with every opinion, but I'm always open to more information. But this story, me knowing the sovereign citizen angle, or whether or not she called herself a Moor, or if she actually belonged to the Moor Science Temple, which is a religion that was founded in the United States, has a charter from the U.S. government. So, I mean, how can you be saying that that's a sovereign, represents some kind of sovereignty when you're going to the United States to get your charter to operate as a nonprofit? So, you know, stuff like that, I just can't reconcile when I hear that type of rhetoric. You know, I had to go to the state of North Carolina to get a charter for a nonprofit media education organization on this Black Talk Media Project, or else, you know, I wouldn't be able to operate in the fact. I wouldn't have a, be able to get a bank account in the name of the organization. People wouldn't be able to donate, and it'd be tax deductible and all that good stuff. You know, or else you'd just be giving me money. You'll just be putting money in Scotty Reed's pocket, you know, if I didn't register. And because I recognize who has the authority to put my black behind in prison if I don't do things a certain kind of way. And that's just the reality of where we live. And I just don't, I can't buy into this rhetoric or this ideology that says anything different. Now, I did find out some new information about Korean gangs that I had not had before, but her family alluded that she might have been mentally ill. Now, they were saying that she didn't live in reality. And I'm taking that as they're alluding to the fact that she viewed herself as a sovereign citizen, not subject to the laws of the state of Maryland or the federal government. What all led up to this warrant being issued? Well, she was driving around with a piece of cardboard where the license plate should be. It actually said, let me pull up that information. It actually said what she had written on the license plate, but the license plate basically said that if anybody pull me over, you're violating my rights, you know, as a sovereign in this, that, and the other. And she refused to get out the car when she was pulled over because of that, and that led to a disorderly conduct charge and a resisting arrest charge. And this occurred at a March 10 traffic stop. So here's the incident. It says, according to police reports, Gaines was stopped for a traffic violation for having a piece of cardboard with writing on it in place of a license plate. The cardboard plate read, "Any government official who compromises this pursuit of happiness and right to travel will be held criminally responsible and fined, as this is a natural right and freedom." So, again, I've heard this type of rhetoric and ideology before. I do not buy into it whatsoever. Okay? I am under no illusions. Who has the power in this country? And who has the authority in this country, and whose laws I am subject to? Whether or not I say I'm subject to them or not don't mean a hill of beans. What matters is they had the power to take my life as they took her life, or they had the power to put me in 21st century slavery or human trafficking. Now, I do want to see an end to this corporation. And part of what I do is exposed that this corporation practices slavery, institutional racism, and I make it no secret that I want to see this corporation dissolved and whatever it takes to that end. I am not shy about stating that. But at the same time, though, I'm not going to bring unnecessary attention to myself by not adhering to traffic laws and things of that nature. Okay, that is not, if I'm going to die, I want to die on the battlefield freeing some slaves. All right, some victims of slavery, I should say. I shouldn't call them slaves. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die not based off of I don't want to pay the fees to get a license plate, or I don't think that I should have to get a driver's license. Okay? I'm not, I'm not going to bring attention to myself. I'm not going to spend any resources trying to prove unsuccessfully, because I've yet to come across a course a case in my research that any of these sovereign citizens have successfully argued that they are not subject to the laws of this jurisdiction of USA Inc. I've yet to see them mount a successful case. So her family viewed her as not living in reality because of those beliefs. Now, I mentioned that she might have been mentally ill as well. Turns out that she was a victim of lead poisoning, and she actually brought a lawsuit against two landlords. I guess they were the homeowners of the place that she was living when she got poisoned by lead. And it is documented medically in her medical records that she did have elevated levels of lead in her blood, which we know can lead to cognitive disabilities. It can affect your intellectual abilities and what have you. In other words, it can make you stupid. All right. Also, violence is also a violent behavior is also a symptom of lead poisoning. And that's whenever I hear people talking about violence that goes on in poor communities, and they want to say, you know, well, that's just because those people are bad or immoral or whatever. No,
excuse me. Are you?
There's a lot of things going on. Let me cut this ad off. There's a lot of things that could be going on, including lead poisoning. I don't think people realize how big of an issue lead poisoning is in the United States. I mean, and it's not just in the cities either. I actually saw a report on that, and it's pretty much widespread. Pretty much widespread. You would really need to pull the guts out of a lot of these buildings, particularly school buildings, to get rid of these lead line or these lead pipes and what have you. Environmental poisoning in this country is very, very, very real, and it appears that she was a victim of such poisoning. All right, so what happened? All right, so we know that this slave catcher murdered this woman. There's no justification whatsoever. I don't care that she wouldn't come out the apartment. I don't care about any of that. This was needless, unnecessary violence. And as I stated in the video, the cop that shot her probably said to himself that, hey, I got better things to do with my time than be sitting outside this apartment building trying to wait on this woman to be talked down. Now, there's just no justification for it. And then knowing you have a child in the apartment, for you to shoot through a wall, make a conscious decision to shoot through a wall, knowing that you could shoot and did shoot this little boy. How is this slave catcher still on the job? Well, obviously, the system protects slave catchers. I mean, you have to really, really have some strong evidence, even though I say the evidence here is pretty strong. I guess I should say it's a crapshoot when it comes to prosecuting slave catchers, because this slave catcher, Corporal Royce Ruby, and we need to get his picture and we need to circulate it around, as, you know, he kills women and children, tried to kill this child, didn't care whatsoever if this little 5-year-old boy got hit. But yeah, we need to put his face out there for everybody to see. So they had been sitting out there for 6 hours. Now, I mentioned in my video yesterday that during that 6 hours, I hope that they brought some mental health professionals, some negotiators, somebody to talk her down. But after further research today, I found out that no, they did not. They did not bring in a mental health counselor, mental health crisis counselor or something like that. They wouldn't even allow her mother to go in and talk her down to get her to come out to get this warrant served. It was other family members that offered to go in and mediate the situation. Police wouldn't let them. These slave catchers wouldn't let them. Does that make sense to you? That does not make sense to me. Now, if the outcome you were looking for was a nonviolent resolution to this standoff between her and the slave catchers. So, come to find out, none of that happened. So, a jury took a look at this case, a Baltimore County jury. This happened in Randallstown, which is a small town not far from Baltimore, but it is in the same county, Baltimore County. So, a jury heard the facts of this case last Friday, and they awarded more than $37 million in damages in the civil lawsuit, which was brought by the family. And I remember reporting when they launched this lawsuit back in, I think it was September of 2016. September. It was September of 2016 when her family launched this lawsuit against Baltimore County for violating not her sovereign rights, not her Moorish rights, but her civil rights. For violating federal statutes that confer a status as a U.S. citizen onto her and her son. That's what the lawsuit was based on. It wasn't based on nothing else. It was based on her rights under federal law, and the rights of her son under federal law were violated. It was a jury of six women who said that the first shot fired, and I think he was the only one who fired. None of the other police officers fired. Just him. Royce Ruby. Royce Ruby is his name. Remember that name. We got to get a picture circulated of him. But the jury of six women said that the first shot fired by Corporal Royce Ruby at Gaines, killing her and injuring her then 5-year-old son, Cody, was not reasonable and therefore violated their civil rights under both state and federal statutes. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, because I come across viewpoints and opinions, and everybody's entitled to their views and their opinions. And, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about that, but I get exposed to a lot of different opinions. And I hear people saying that, you know, these civil rights took something from us, like it did some harm to us. And I'm like trying to think about it objectively, and I'm saying that logically that doesn't make any sense to me. How does passing a law outlawing racism or saying that discrimination based on race, sex, national origin, or religion, how is that bad? How is that a bad thing? How does that diminish a person's rights? Now, I do believe we all are born with natural rights as individuals. We have human rights that ought not be violated, all right? But since we live in nation states, and this is everywhere on the planet, just about everywhere on the planet, I think it's only the Amazon where you have people who are living relatively free, and I say relatively free because they're free until the corporations and the loggers that is chopping down the forests and the jungle for the wood and stuff comes and murders them and displaces them. So, you know, they're living relatively free, meaning that they're not looked at as citizens of whatever country that has been erected around where they live, or a state or something like that. Now, of course, they had their own tribal hierarchy or government. So, I mean, government is just a way that people organize, you know, and it can be good, it can be bad. It's just depending upon the outcomes that it produces. And USA Inc. has produced a lot of bad results, a lot of injustice. So that's why I say this corporation needs to be dissolved, and we need to come together and come up with something much better that's based on justice. All right. So I don't understand. I just cannot see the logic in saying that if I am born somewhere, that I am therefore by the laws of that place that I'm born, seen as a citizen, and with that status comes certain rights that are codified in law. And I just do not see the logic in saying that I'm not. That I'm not subject to that. I'm paying taxes. Okay? I'm paying taxes. I'm starting businesses. And I'm just speaking in general terms. I'm getting business licenses. I'm opening up bank accounts. You know, which you got to have certain type of paperwork to do all of that. So, how are these people functioning? How are these people functioning if they are not doing those things? Okay, she worked as a beautician, I understand. She worked as a hair care. You have to have a license from the state for that. Okay, so I just don't buy the logic in saying that civil rights harm the black community. Because you know what? Prior to the passage of these civil rights laws that black people fought for, because wasn't nobody else demanding civil rights and human rights be respected for black people. Nobody else was demanding these rights but black people. All right. So these black people said, look, y'all taxing us. Y'all recruiting us for military service. You're making us pay property taxes and all that. Look, we want all the benefits that comes along with that. You're not just going to take from us. And then we're not supposed to have these rights. But before these black people were able to get these rights codified in federal law, what do you think their recourse would have been? Let's say it's the 1830s. They're still practicing pre-1865 slavery, chattel slavery, where you see people getting whipped on plantations and all of that stuff that you can imagine. But you also have free black community. So let's say a slave patroller, I'm a free black person. I go to town to do whatever I plan to do in town. And I get murdered by a slave catcher. What do you think my family's recourse would be? Go to court and sue for damages for the harm that was done to me and the stealing of my life. Therefore, my labor and my energy that was going to contribute to my family, they had no recourse back then. You was just another dead darky as far as the state was concerned, as far as the federal government was concerned. People were getting lynched left and right, getting shot up, getting raped, all kind of manner of evil being done to them. And they had no legal recourse in the eyes of the corporation. They had nothing. There was nothing they could do. Now, they could go pick up a gun and go exact revenge, but we know how that was going to turn out. And I say it's no shame in dying on your feet in such a scenario, you know. But most people not going to do that. Most people are not going to seek out the murderous slave catcher and then murder him or one of his family members. You know, so before these civil rights federal laws got put into place, it's pretty much just open season on black people now. It's pretty much still open season on black people, especially when it comes to these slave catchers. But in this instance, those rights that Dr. King and others, those laws that they fought for, I shouldn't say rights, but laws protecting their rights or recognizing their rights. Before those got passed, there was no recourse for a black family. You just You just had to go bury your dead family member, and that was the end of it. That played, that, who knows how many times that played out. So I just cannot buy into this rhetoric or this logic that says, hey, when they pass these federal statutes recognizing that black people are U.S. citizens and therefore are, have constitutional protections and what have you, that that harmed us somehow, that we lost something be, as a result. What did we lose? I don't know what that is. Nobody has clearly pointed that out. What did you lose? You didn't lose your self-determination, because you still can determine what you're going to do with yourself today. You can determine that, hey, I'm tired of living behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc. I don't want to be part of no kind of movement to bring about change. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to find me some little small island or something, and I'm going to move there. There's nothing stopping you from determining that's what you want to do with yourself. You still have freedom of movement. You can travel. You still got to adhere to these other regulations or these other nations that you might travel to. But, you know, you still can, you still can pretty much be self-determining. I don't see anyone stopping me from doing anything that I want to do other than freeing victims of slavery, because I know, you know, I don't have an army behind me, and I just can't run up on a prison plantation by myself and think I'm gonna liberate all of these victims of slavery that don't belong in prison. I know that I know that that would be pretty much a suicide mission, and that I have other ways that I can contribute towards making that happen. But in terms of me talking about it, in terms of me telling people that slavery was never abolished, they lying to you through these movies, they lying to you through the courts, they're just straight up lying to you when they tell you that the Civil War ended slavery, when all it did was reset slavery under a different form. Now they just can't kidnap you from some foreign land or on this land, because they were kidnapping people here and selling them into slavery. Now all they got to do is pass a law and then say you violated that law, get a conviction, and then throw you into slavery. There's nothing stopping me from telling you that. There's nothing stopping me from organizing with other like-minded people in a new abolitionist movement, and agitating for an end to slavery by any means necessary. So I just don't buy that rhetoric. I don't see the logic. Maybe somebody can explain to me, you know, what did victims of slavery coming out of 1865 slavery, wandering around mostly homeless, or forced to go live right back on the plantation as sharecroppers. Some were able to carve out a place, or they went to already established free black communities. But what did they lose? What did they lose by the passage of these federal civil rights laws, primarily those that say that you can't discriminate against a person based on their skin color, or what's between their legs, or what religion they... How did that cause anybody to lose anything? I hear people talking about the Constitution, constitutional citizens and what have you. What they're talking about is the status. The corporation known as USA Inc. had to come up with a legal status for these victims of slavery that had recently been emancipated. Hell, they all don't want to go back. Some of them never went to was never in Africa to begin with. They was born right here into slavery. But hell, you know, they all don't want to leave, you know, this continent and go to Africa. And what we gonna do with them? You know, What's their status? What's their legal? Are they citizens, or are they just roaming around, just out here? Well, you know what? So the 14th Amendment conferred that status upon them. And let's not act like it was just conferred upon them without any input from the black people themselves. Again, this country as we know it today, USA Inc., wouldn't even exist if not for black people. We'll be living in the Confederate States of America if not for victims of slavery and free black people picking up arms, joining the Union Army, and putting racist, terrorist crackers in the ground any way they could. Okay? They demanded citizenship. They was like, I see them veterans now. We just saved this damn union. We just saved the federal government. We demand the right to vote. We demand full citizenship. We didn't put our lives on the line for this. It's ours. It's right. We demand it. So let's not act like black people didn't demand that. Because they did. They did. But there's still no justice in this case, though. This Royce Ruby he was Corporal Ruby then. He's probably Sergeant Ruby now, but he did get a promotion. He got a promotion for killing this young mother. She was only 23 years old. And they're trying to say he unintentionally injured that child, but no, it was total intent there. You knew the child was in there. You knew if you shot in the house, it was a chance the child could be hit. Totally intentional. That was an intentional act. That wasn't unintentional. And this guy gets promoted. He gets promoted. Wow. So there's been no justice in this case. He was cleared of any criminal charges, said that he did everything, to protect his life and the lives of others whose lives were not in danger whatsoever, as long as they stayed their ass outside that apartment. But they did not do everything possible to bring this to a peaceful resolution. They could have let her mother come in. They could have let her brother come in. And I'm mad at the dude that left her, though. Let me just put that out there right now. The father of her other child took that child that they shared together, that they created together, and left her. That's some cowardly crap right there. You know? And then I'm hearing him talk in the media and all that. I'm just saying to myself, shut up, coward. You left that woman. You left that woman to deal with them slave catchers all by herself. You coward. I have no respect for him. He's not even a man in my book. You didn't agree with what she was doing. If you thought that, you know, y'all needed to, with the children in the house, to resolve that peacefully, you should have stayed in there and talked her down. Or if you was in agreement with her saying that I don't recognize y'all authority, I don't believe that warrant, I believe it's a fake warrant and all that, then you should have, what do the young people call it, ride or die? You should have been a ride or die brother. But you didn't. You didn't ride with her all the way through. You a coward. Shut up. Go sit down some damn where. There was no reason for you to leave that woman to deal with them slave catchers by herself. You should have either been in there talking her down or putting yourself between her and the slave catchers. Shouldn't have left her in there to deal with that all by herself. So I don't even care nothing that he has to say, but this is a terrible injustice. This money is not going to bring her back. And then the cops, not even the cop who shot her, isn't the one who's going to have to pay. It's going to be who? It's going to be the citizens of Baltimore County who's paying property taxes. That's who's going to pay. And that's messed up. That's messed up all the way around. So let me see. So again, if you have any comments, I'm open to all opinions. I never try to have a closed mind. I have a closed mind on certain things, but that's like, you know, things that are just so morally repugnant that I don't have no open mind to, you know, bestiality, pedophilia. No, I ain't trying to hear nothing, you know. But I have an open mind on most things. So, you know, if somebody wants to explain to me where is the representatives from the sovereign citizens or whatever organization, where if she was a Moor, I know some people say that, you know, their citizens are a Moor. Where's the Moorish ambassador? Well, you know, why he ain't speaking out or she ain't speaking out on this? Why aren't they demanding justice? So, you know, and yes, there were Moors who came here to the United States or before it became the United States, let's say North America. But I don't see how they have passed on some citizenship to, I mean, what country would they belong to, Morocco or Mauritania? I'm not clear on that. But again, obviously Morocco, that area of Africa where the Moors originated from and conquered parts of Europe and also assisted racist terrorist devils like Christopher Columbus and exploring the New World, you know, taught them racist devils a whole lot of stuff. And you think that's something to brag about? Hell no. But again, you know, I just don't see how any of that applies to our situation today. I don't see how it applies to this sister who unfortunately lost her life, who apparently believed that she could drive around in a car with a cardboard license plate saying that I'm sovereign and if you stop me, you violate my rights. I don't see how that's helping us. And I don't see how that's good advice to be giving anybody. We want to fly under the radar. We don't want to attract the attention of slave catchers and give them any excuse to interact. Not that they need one, but give them any excuse to interact with us on any level. I try to say the best advice my father ever gave me was he said, stay out them white people's courthouse. And what he meant is, that's where they put people into slavery. Of course, you know, he recognizes that slavery was never abolished now, but he wasn't back then. He just know that that's where how black people end up in prison is by being in that courthouse. And he told me, stay out their courthouse. Don't do anything that's going to land you in their courthouse. Because once they get you in that courthouse, all bets are off. You find yourself a victim of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. So I'm saying pick your battles wisely. Pick them very wisely because we know that these slave catchers don't need a reason to kill us. But we shouldn't be doing anything to attract their attention. That's why I stay on my daughters. I stay on my daughters about what they might have in a car, what they leave laying out. I like, don't be giving these slave catchers no probable cause. Because even if you ain't got nothing, they'll plant something. We want to avoid slave catchers. We don't want to attract the attention of slave catchers and riding around with a cardboard license plate is certainly going to attract. Again, I'm saying this because this is something that is believed by, you know, various people in the black community. And I just don't see how it's helping anyone. I don't know who told her this, but you could say they might've ended up getting her killed by these slave catchers by saying, you ain't got to recognize their authority. They don't have no power over you. Come on now. Let's live in reality. They got all the power in the world. They got a million slave catchers that get that they'll call out on you from every state. And we seen them do it when they went after Christopher Dorner. You had slave catchers from four or five different states get in on that manhood hunt and then burn the man alive in the cabin. We are not organized. We don't have a militia, let alone a military, to deal with these people on that level. So we had to find more other means. So just don't think it's helpful telling people that the corporation has no jurisdiction over you when they absolutely do. If they can go to Libya and overthrow Libya and murder its leader, what do you think they can do to you? You better recognize that power. You better recognize that authority. Because when you recognize that power and that authority, then you won't take your enemy lightly. And that's the last thing we want to do, is to take the enemy lightly. Because he's very good at what he does. All right. So that's all I got to say on that. If we don't have any comments, man, I don't know why my board is acting up, but it is. You can give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Hit star to unmute yourself. It is 9:30. Got about 30 minutes left. I'm going to take another music break. And then I'm going to jump into this story about this totally preventable shooting at this school down in Florida by this racist terrorist. And that's what he is. He's a racist terrorist. He's an enemy combatant. He's not just mentally ill. Maybe some mental illness wrapped up in that, but I say who ain't mentally ill? We're all mentally ill living under this corrupt nation. I certainly got PTSD, which is a form of mental illness. I'm definitely always stressed the hell out. But yeah, we'll take a look at that story. That was totally preventable. I say that his status as a white male protected him from investigation and prosecution until it was too late. And he went out there and he killed some people. So I want to take a look at that story when we come back on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. I broadcast live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. You can also check out some of the videos that I issue through the week on blacktalkradionetwork.com. It is in the category, in the archives of Black Talk Radio News. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Black Talk Radio. We'll be back on the other side.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Down, 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 down Just see you and me, baby. to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. The last thing I'm going to share with you again. Talk to your children about how to interact with these slave catchers, because these slave catchers will kill them. Okay? That's the worst outcome. The second worst outcome is they can end up in slavery. But I tell my daughters all the time, don't be sleeping on these slave catchers. Don't be having this, that, or the other out in your car. Get that light fixed. Buy the parts, I'll fix it. You don't want to be pulled over by these slave catchers. And if you do get pulled over by these slave catchers, there's a way to interact with them. Because what you want to do is survive the encounter. But I heard people cheering on and Mrs. Gaines' behavior. And again, you know, this woman had a documented history, medical history of lead poisoning, which may have contributed to some of her behavior. None of her behavior, in my opinion, justified her murder. So don't think I'm saying that. But it helps explain the interactions that I saw on video between her and slave catchers and being aggressive with slave catchers. And that's a symptom of lead poisoning, because she had filed a lawsuit in Baltimore alleging lead paint poisoning against the owners of two homes where she lived. She had documented medical reports of neurological impairments and a loss of significant IQ points. A pediatrician report included in the suit stated that Corinne had a history of problems with anger and impulsive behavior and had trouble concentrating. Lead poison is a very serious issue that I don't think gets enough attention, primarily in Black and poor communities. It's very, very, very serious issue that I don't think is being addressed enough. So that's the last thing I want to share on that. Slave catcher had no justification to murder this woman and the attempted murder of her son. The family gets $37 million from its civil lawsuit alleging that their civil rights under federal statutes and state statutes were violated. The jury agreed with that, and that's why you got the $37 million award. Again, it's not going to bring her back. It's not going to get Cody a new mother or anything like that, but it's just a tragic story all the way around that's too often repeated in this country. All right, I wanted to talk about this terrorist, Nicholas Cruz, in Florida. I had gotten an email from someone, and what they were trying to do was blame the National Rifle Association for this shooting. That's the way the article was written up that was sent to me. And I was like, what the connection that they were trying to make to say that he attended some events that the NRA supported. The NRA gives grants and stuff to civic organizations and even to schools to have like firearm safety training. I ain't got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. And apparently he must have attended one of those events. Therefore, it's the NRA's fault. Now, look, I see plenty wrong with the NRA, specifically their promotion of racism and white supremacy, rooted in racism and white supremacy. But also, I had to be objective. I had to be rational. And it is not rational to blame the NRA because he attended some gun training course or safety course or whatever for this. If you're going to do that, let's say the United States military is to blame, because he was in the ROTC, right? He was in the ROTC with the shooting events with the ROTC. For those that don't know what the ROTC is, that's these little clubs that have funding from the United States military that gets set up in these schools where they try to encourage young people to want to become members of the U.S. military. And they take them to these various events. They do drills. They wear the little military uniform with rank on it and all that. I mean, we're going to blame the NRA. Let's blame the U.S. military as well. Because they fund the ROTC. So let's blame the U.S. military. I mean, we're going to say by virtue of him attending an NRA-sponsored event, well, hell, we might well blame the U.S. military as well for militarizing young people and making them want to grow up to become killers for the corporation. But this guy had a history. This young person had a history of racism and religious bigotry. And he also might have been a misogynist. This article, which I have posted in BTR community for tonight's event, BTR News, BET published this article. It says that former friends and released private group messages revealed troubling statements made by a Florida high school shooting suspect, Nicholas Cruz. Cruz was adopted. Both his adoptive parents are dead. That's how he got the last name, Cruz. He got that last name from them. Because I was thinking, dude, you just might be, you know, Latino or what? Well, how did you get that last name, Cruz? And what have you? And you talking about you don't like Mexicans and all this and that. But he was adopted. He's white. He was adopted. He says his parents might have been Jewish. Therefore, he might be Jewish, which I don't buy into that. Just because your parents are Jew don't mean you a Jew if you don't practice the religion of Judaism. I do not accept Jew as an ethnic group. It's a religious designation. But in a private Instagram group chat, Cruz wrote that he hated Jews, niggers, and immigrants. This was reported by CNN. Cruz, who used an AR-15 to kill 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, posted several racist memes, messages, and threats to the group. In one message, Cruz talked about killing Mexicans, putting black people back in chains, and cutting their necks. He believes that slavery was abolished. That's what he believes. He said he won't put them back in chains. All you got to do is take him to a prison plantation. He'll see a bunch of black people in chains. These messages may appear extremely troubling, yet a former friend of Cruz has spoken out about his frightening past behavior. Now, I do not get that line in this article. These messages may appear extremely troubling. They are extremely troubling. Come on, BET. Who wrote this crap? I want to, for a second, though, have you noticed how not all of them, but quite a few of these racist terrorists belong to these secret groups on Facebook and Instagram and these other social media platforms that allow people to set up secret groups? Well, as a person who manages a social media platform, who knows how the software works, they're moderated. Ain't no group secret from the administrators, and they know about these groups, but they give safe harbor to these terrorists. They allow them to spew their hateful ideologies and rhetoric, and somehow these things don't violate their so-called terms of service and being a family-friendly platform and all of that. So I guess what I'm saying is a lot of these social media platforms, you just simply cannot trust them. You just simply can't. And they're part of the problem, and they give cover to these racists. It goes on to say, during a Tuesday appearance on Good Morning America, Ariana Lopez, who is a student at this high school, said she's had several disturbing experiences with Cruz. He used to sell knives out of his lunchbox which I thought was like insane because you can't have knives in school, Lopez told Good Morning America. He would talk about how he sympathized with terrorists and how people who oppose them should be killed. Now, she said that she also had encounters with Cruz where he was violent towards his ex-girlfriend and violent against Lopez and her friends. He talked about killing our parents, our friends, boyfriends, and girlfriends, Lopez added. He would hit his girlfriend. He would threaten her. He would threaten her family and her friends for talking to other guys. Now, this is key right here. She found his behavior so disconcerting, she reported Cruz to school officials multiple times between 2016 and 2017. A representative for Broward County Schools has not commented on her allegations that she reported this guy. And they did nothing. They did nothing again. He was protected by his white skin. They were probably saying things like, well, he's just going through a phase. He's still young. We don't want to ruin his life. We don't want to get him on no terrorist watch list. He's got his whole life ahead of him. We don't want to do anything. Plus, he expressed a desire to go in the United States military and serve the corporation and what have you. There has to be a bunch of lawsuits filed by these family members against the school, as well as the FBI, which got two reports. So he wasn't just reported to the school, he was reported to the FBI as well. He was reported to the FBI. And they did nothing. They did nothing whatsoever. They're claiming that procedures weren't followed and blah, 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 blah. No, you're too busy focused on so-called black identity extremists that you ain't allocating resources to go after these white terrorists is what's going on here. Because there's always plenty of warning signs. People do report them, but nothing gets done about it until they go out and they commit a heinous crime like this person who killed these 17 people, Nicholas Cruz, racist, religious, bigot, and terrorist. So I have heard as a result of this that Donald Trump, the CEO of USA Inc., is going to look at banning the bump stock accessory for rifles. This came out when Stephen Paddock, I believe that was his name, the Las Vegas shooter who killed all those people from his hotel suite, he had one of those. All it is a accessory that you attach to the butt of the rifle that uses the rifle's recoil, the energy from the recoil, to then cause it to lurch forward during causing another trigger pull, because your finger's still there in a stationary position. So what the bump stock is doing is using that energy, that kinetic energy, to keep slamming the gun, if you will, or the rifle, if you will, against your finger in a rapid fashion to simulate automatic gunfire. For all intents and purposes, it is automatic gunfire. So Donald Trump, after this shooting, has announced that he is open to legislation, I understand, has directed the Department of Justice to write up something towards banning these bump stocks. Because it was also mentioned in this group that one of his fellow terrorists, and I'm going to call them fellow terrorists because they was in this little terrorist cell. Because also, let me back up a minute. People are saying that they didn't belong to a white supremacist organization or a white supremacist group. That's because they created their own white supremacist group. They were a group operating on Instagram. They were a group of white supremacist terrorists, racist and religious bigots. So this notion that they didn't belong to a group, they were the group. But one of those people in the group, because they would apparently be posting pictures of his guns, and he didn't just go out and buy this gun right before he committed this act of terror, he had that gun for a year. He actually purchased that gun back in 2016, the AR-15. So all this stuff about a waiting period, it's all canned responses. Now, I'm not against a waiting period that, you know, if I want to buy certain weapons that I go through a background check and it may take 3 days. If you live in California, it take 10 days. I ain't got a problem with none of that. But I just take issue with every time one of these shootings happens, that's the standard go-to. Oh, it's all about waiting list and this, that, and the other. Again, you can go out there and purchase a gun off the street to do whatever you want. Any kind of weapon you want, you can get on the street. So I don't think that would solve anybody from being killed when a person is intent on doing, you know, people harm. They can obtain the means. But I do think it's sensible to have these waiting lists and to go through these background checks. But just so everybody know, he had already been on a waiting list and background checks, and when he purchased the guns, and he had more than one, and he wasn't shy about posting them on Instagram in this secret quote unquote group on Instagram. And one of his fellow terrorists told him he should buy the bump stock. That's come out now. He should get this for his rifle. So Donald Trump, CEO of USA Inc., has directed the Department of Justice to ban bump stocks now. And again, I know people in my area have them because I've heard them. I've heard automatic gunfire coming from the woods. I don't have one. I wish I did, but I don't. But I just feel like, you know, a lot of knee-jerk reactions to this in terms of gun control and not enough action being placed on or focus being placed on terrorism. These are white domestic terrorists. And this was totally preventable, but he was shielded. Some people call it white privilege. Other people say it's white power. But I'm sure it was white people not wanting to ruin the life of this young white boy. And as a result, I feel like they are culpable in these 17 deaths. Just my thoughts and my opinions on the matter. We got a call from 646. We are up against it. Since we started late, we'll go over just a little bit. 646, welcome to BTR News. Go ahead with your question or comment. 646.
Peace, Brother Scott. Tag, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Tag, greetings to you.
Greetings, and greetings to the network. Pardon, I'm getting a bit of feedback, but it's cooling off now. I have just been, you know, very much appreciating the broadcast thus far, and you know, we'll keep it concise as you know, we're going toward the end. But definitely wanted, well, just real quick, I think it was Operation Mockingbird that you were referring to earlier, as far as the security state meddling out in Cuba, right? The you know, fake social media platform that was established out there.
Yeah, they had a name for the network. I just couldn't remember the network. It was named after some kind of bird in Cuba. But in terms of USA Inc.'s intelligence operation to undermine Cuban sovereignty, I don't know what that was called.
No. So that wasn't Mockingbird? Wasn't that Operation Mockingbird?
I think Operation Mockingbird has something to do with the media, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look that up right quick. Let me see. Operation Mockingbird. But I think that had to do with media propaganda. And I don't think it's something new. Do you think that's something fairly new?
Not very new, no. But I do seem to recall that there was like a social media that was like social media oriented.
Okay, I found
Operation
it, Tag.
Mockingbird.
Operation Mockingbird was a large-scale program of the United States CIA that began in the early 1950s and attempted to manipulate news for propaganda purposes. You there? Are you still there, Tag?
Yeah. Pardon, I'm having some issues with the mute function, but yeah, no doubt. Okay, so maybe I'm conflating the two.
Very similar. We're talking social media. They didn't have social media back then, but like I've said, COINTELPRO never ended. So watch your Operation Mockingbird.
Right. Exactly. You know, it could be, you know, a kind of oblique reference to that earlier operation. But just to continue the discussion around this recent school shooting, one of the issues that immediately came to mind for me was this issue that you brought up back at the beginning of the year regarding this brother Shaquan Rasford out by you, and the fact that they off of this alleged threat that was put out, put him up on like $250,000 bond.
Yes,
arrested him behind that, and so it seemed to me like just one more extremely telling and in no way unusual disparity. Racially, as regards this kind of surveillance of younger individuals and the kinds of penalties faced by those who communicate in certain types of ways on social media or otherwise online.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Tag is referring to a story. It's not that old, but there was a young black male here. He was in high school and he had gotten suspended. Now, he was a football player and he was upset about being suspended. He went to school here in Gaston County at this high school. I think it was Hunter Huss, might have been Ashbrook, but predominantly black school. And he was upset about being suspended, and allegedly he posted something on Facebook about he wanted to shoot up the school. So, I mean, they immediately went after him, spared no expense, even though they found no weapons in his possession. I think they put him like on, what was it, $1 million bond, something like that, some outrageous amount, even though this kid had no priors or anything like that. But then we see this kid in Florida, this Nicholas Cruz, who made frequent comments of the sort of threatening people, of saying he wanted to be a school shooter and all of that. And basically, he was ignored by the authorities.
Yeah, exactly. And, just being here in New York, where, heads are being, gathered up and thrown into prison slavery behind federal charges with just all too much regularity for often being implicated behind these kinds of social media activities. It's just particularly aggravating, I would say. But I think that's part of what's intended behind these kinds of looks as well, because you earlier on in the broadcast drew the parallel to 9/11 as far as the ways in which the state apparatus does or does not address alerts as to possible activities of you know, of a violent nature, mass violence, et cetera. So, you know, it seems to me that this kind of selectivity, as regards not only like who to surveil and how, but how to go about, you know, how the state, how the security state, you know, these various, you know, elements within the state that carry out these kinds of raids or other, you know, prison slavery, you know, engagements, the selectivity that they show seems to me to be in and of itself highly dangerous to the public. And it doesn't seem to me that they have very much concern over those who are victimized by it, that, you know, are so to speak, civilians in these matters.
You know, again, if I was one of the family members, I'd definitely be filing a lawsuit against the FBI, as well as the school system, because this was totally preventable, had all these warnings. Now, Edward Snowden revealed to us this massive online spying apparatus that the NSA has created. But hey, you mean to tell me then that I can start a secret group on social media and you know, that somehow you're not able to pick up on that, where I'm posting all these racist, threatening violence, posting pictures of my guns and stuff? You mean to tell me the NSA missed that? Come on now. I don't know, Tag.
It doesn't seem likely, and especially because there are these programs that they have now or technologies or whatnot, where they're going as far as to claim that they can predict criminality, you know, faceception, that they're, you know, using this program called Faceception, you know, out in what's referred to as Israel or what's also termed the 48, just, you know, to further criminalize that extremely repressed, you know, population of Palestinians out there. And, you know, no doubt the same kinds of technologies being employed out here, you know, toward the populations that, you know, that they have genocidal intentions toward out here, you know. So it seems, you know, beyond the pale, so to speak, for them to try and claim that, these are secret activities, or to claim that like they didn't expect such and such to occur, you know, particularly when they're being tipped off, you know, specifically about an individual. I didn't get the sense from what I read that Shaquan Rashford, for example, was getting all sorts of, you know, complaints or reports about his behavior, you know, to the Fed or anything like that.
Right.
Nor apparently they arrested this other young brother at the same school shortly thereafter, Alurius Watson, who's 16, off of similar charges for, you know, he allegedly had written something on the door in the bathroom, you know. So the levels of scrutiny, you know, are clearly completely out of balance, and it leads to a lot of confusion. I don't know if you've ever heard of any of a school shooting perpetrated by, you know, a melanated, you know, or African descendant student in one of these middle schools or high schools in the U.S. I can't think of any.
No, I can't think of any melanated person going to a school and just trying to kill as many people as possible. I haven't seen that. We have issues of violence in our community, which is usually related to the drug war and police violence and what have you, but I have never heard of anyone purposely going to a school to kill a bunch of students. I just can't recall either, Tag.
And, you know, so you mentioned the widespread poisoning of the water supplies out here, and at least from what I've read around that, those are completely those completely reflect the patterns, like the
violence.
Well, not only that. I mean, absolutely. There seems to be correlations between certain types of behavioral patterns and lead poisoning, but also like where the water is being poisoned seems to be very much concentrated in our communities throughout this country, and in the communities that are, you know, let's say the same ones that are targeted for gentrification, you know, or racial displacement, you know, those types of communities seem to be the same ones that are showing the worst levels of lead toxicity. And that, you know, that goes twice for spots where prison slavery is being, you know, practiced. Those specific areas are, you know, are even more clearly targeted for lead and other types of poisoning, you know, in the water supply.
Most certainly. And it is an issue that I think does not get enough attention. For those that may have tuned in late, I was making the connection to some of the we should say erratic behavior of Corinne Gaines and her interactions with slave catchers was possibly due to her documented medical history of being a victim of lead poisoning when she lived in Baltimore. So much so that she actually filed a lawsuit against the two homeowners. All right, Ted, was there anything else you wanted to share as we get ready to wrap it up?
Just quickly, I would just point toward, because you were talking about Corinne Gaines and, you know, how the very kind of varied takes on her behavior in that standoff. And, you know, I know that we all were extremely saddened by what occurred. And
right.
At the same time, what I witnessed personally was a lot of kind of frustration turned to action, just out and about outside at actions or what have you, particularly around what occurred to Corinne Gaines. So I think that we, you know, as tragic as that occurrence was, you know, it's important to try and contextualize them, you know, as regards the numerous martyrs, you know, that have come out of our community over the years and decades and centuries, you know, and you know, Kajim Powell comes to mind, for example. You know, this brother very clearly, you know, recognized that slave catchers would probably just execute him, you know, for essentially nothing, and didn't really see any recourse apparently as to
right.
You know, how to face this state of affairs, you know, behind the Mike Brown murder, you know. So this question of martyrdom, you know, and mental health and the fact that, as you stated, I mean, you know, how can any of us, regardless of our circumstances, feel a state of mental health, you know, perfect mental health, in an environment that is so utterly out of balance, you know. So with the lead poisoning and everything else, you know, the fact that slavery is still being, you know, perpetrated out here, like all of these factors combined, you know, lead us to react and respond, you know, in the various ways that we do. And you know, it just seems to me that this sister, you know, seeing that as like the stand that she needed to make, and whether or not it's how I would have faced that, you know, or decided to handle that particular scenario, I can recognize where it's coming from. I'm reminded of the Christiana revolt that if I'm not mistaken, y'all referenced in New Abolitionist Radio at one point. You know, the standoff at Christiana that occurred, you know, Mumia highlights it in his recent book. And, you know, the fact is, you know, she's continuing to inspire people out here, and ideally, you know, to act in ways that do truly do damage to this system of enslavement and that, you know, have limited negative impact on their lives or those of their communities. Because, of course, you know, we don't want to be making excuses for slave catchers to, you know, harm us any further.
Right, but right.
Stands, of course, you know, stands have to be made on various levels. And as you always say, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, you know. So it seems to me that on their side, they have their, you know, kind of, so to speak, radical fringe, you know, that acts in ways that the state claims that they don't sanction, but then low-key are in full support of, you know. It seems to me that while I certainly wouldn't promote taking certain stands out here, knowing how vile these slave catchers are, I'll never denounce resistance against them.
Right, right. Now, we do want that resistance to be intelligent. Is my point. Is we want to think these things through. We want to pick our battles appropriately. And while no, her resistance should not be denigrated, I believe, like you believe, frustration was there. We all suffer from some mental illness, some post-traumatic stress. Well, not post-traumatic stress, because we're still under it. Post, you know, confers that it's a past trauma. We're undergoing this trauma every day. And sometimes that trauma does impact our ability to think rationally when we find ourselves in certain situations. But that was not an ideal situation, I have to say. I would have to advise when a house is surrounded by slave catchers, you know, might be best to try to survive that encounter, you know, especially when you have a child in the house. Okay, so that's my whole point about that, in terms of, you know, I don't think that was a good position to be in, and, you know, basically I'll leave it at that, you know. But I do also find that when we tell people that they're not subject to laws and that these slave catchers have no jurisdiction and they can do what they want when they want, or saying they can't do anything to you. You know, for example, her putting that on a cardboard license plate, if you pull me over, you know, you will suffer the consequences of violating my rights. I feel like that kind of rhetoric that happens in the black community, and I'm sure it actually had that sovereign citizen stuff actually has its roots in white supremacy. White supremacists mainly practice that and teach that they're not subject to the federal government and all this and that. I don't see how that's helping us in our current situation by telling us that.
I definitely feel you on that, and I can't speak to how she may have come to that particular, you know, stance. I'm certainly aware of those kinds of stances as they exist out here, and much like any other aspect of our ideology, as far as I can tell, the slavers and their minions are essentially doing the best that they can to turn that back against us and essentially to weaponize this notion of self-empowerment, sovereignty, et cetera, you know, back against our community. So, I mean, certainly we're in agreement there.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, I do believe in self-determination, but when I use that term, somebody in the sovereign citizens means something else, meaning that they don't have to obey any of the laws that's on the books. And I'm not, obviously we got a lot of unjust laws on the books, like those criminalizing possession of certain drugs and certain substances. I find no justification, no basis for those laws to even be on the books. But then there are other things like needing a driver's license and passing the test, or having registration for your car, paying insurance on your car, things of that nature. You know, I'm not going to claim, I'm not going to fight that battle and say, hey, I don't have to pay you to have a driver's license. I don't have to be examined by you. I just find that kind of rhetoric not to be based in reality. All right. This government, it is a government. They do make the laws. They do have the guns and the forces to back up those laws, and for me to take the attitude that I can just, you know, avoid paying taxes or whatnot because I don't feel like it, I just don't think that's helping. That's helping anybody to take that stance. I'm not trying. If I'm gonna go to slave, if I'm gonna be put into slavery for something, it's gonna be for taking one of these slave catchers out. It's going to be for, you know what I'm saying, because I inflicted some serious damage. It's not going to be because I failed to pay my taxes, you know, or I was involved in some kind of tax scheme or something. I'm just, no, it's not worth it to me. And it's not helpful rhetoric.
I definitely hear you. I guess what I would just add to that is perhaps it's another example of the necessity of organization, you know, and organizing. Because I did hear what you said when you said that, you know, you haven't seen, you know, anyone like connected to this particular movement or what have you speak out about what occurred. And nor have I, which is not to say that no one has, but it's you know, I'm also reminded of the Move family, you know, and our brother Eddie Africa, you know, just faced you know, another hit, you know, from the parole board, from what I've read recently, and you know, so but the Move family took these kinds of stances, you know, not recognizing the law of this particular state and articulated its reasons why, and you know, but that organization continues to this day, you know, and it's a very strong organization. So it seems to me that perhaps this, you know, is, you know, yet another example, as tragic as this example is, of, you know, the need for us all to, you know, really get our organizational unity together in order to be able to defend ourselves in any kinds of, you know, scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that there's no army. There's no Moorish army coming to anybody's rescue or backing us up. There's no sovereign citizens, representatives that's going to come out and mediate. You know, we don't have any kind of diplomatic immunity and all that. So, I mean, people can believe what they want to believe, but what do the facts on the ground say? What is the logical outcome going to be? So I want to see this corporation dissolve, because it's an evil corporation that represents an evil empire that's still practicing slavery, that's still oppressing people all over the planet. And I make no bones about, I want to see it ended. I want to see it ended. But at the same time, though, if I'm out here on these roads, okay, and I get pulled over for a busted taillight, and that slave catcher comes up and asks to see my driver's license, and I'm going to show him my driver's license. I'm going to show him my registration, and I'm going to tell him I'll get the light fixed. I'm not going to say, slave catcher, you have no jurisdiction over me. I don't recognize your authority. All right? I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to spend resources getting myself out of jail or put that on my family to die over something so trivial. I'm just simply not going to do it. Again, if I'm going to die, it's going to be because I didn't kill the slave catcher. Not dying over no trivial stuff. That at the end of the day, it's not going to move us no closer to freedom as a people. Those just my thoughts. But it, I mean, again, if people want to organize, like I do, back this movement for black people, melanated people, to move to southeastern states. And by sheer numbers, we take over the political machinations, which if you control the politics, you control everything in those states, and setting up free states. You know, just like prior to 1865, you had your free states, you had your slave states. Well, since slavery has never been abolished, we still need free states. We don't even have a free county, as far as I can tell. And so perhaps we do need to organize and move along those lines for self-determining independence or pseudo-independence.
No doubt. It's a lot of work we have cut out for us. I just want to put out there, speaking of the Mu family, for those in New York or near New York, the Mu family is having an event this weekend on Saturday at the National Black Theater. That's going to be on Saturday. It's called Framed in America. And we'll try and make sure to get that on the BTR community event.
All right, Tay.
Page as well.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, young brother. And you hold it down behind the enemy lines up there in NYC. And definitely appreciate your contribution.
Much appreciated. Strong broadcast, as usual.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to get ready to wrap it up. I feel kind of out of sorts tonight for some reason. You know, I don't know. I've been sick, and I ain't been on the air, and I just feel sort of out of sorts, but I hope to tighten up future broadcasts. Again, I'm starting a podcast a little bit more, and you can find those podcasts in the same place, blacktalkradionetwork.com, your number one independent black media platform. So if you are a black voice, an independent black voice, and you're looking for an outlet, that's the place to be. Hope that you will join us. And all everybody's welcome. Well, I should say almost everybody. For some reason, I just can't seem to tolerate some of these right-wing black Republicans, man. They really get under my skin. But pretty much everybody else is welcome. All right, so that's my broadcast. I will be back on air with another live broadcast tomorrow night as part of New Abolitionist Radio at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, where we focus on 21st century slavery and human trafficking, because that's a fact that slavery was never actually abolished in this country. It was just moved from the plantation to the prisons. All right, with that said, recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a lot of slave catcher initiated violence out there. So you had to be wary of these people. You gotta learn how to move behind these enemy lines in silence. You know, sometimes there's a time to make some noise, and then there's some time to where we want to move in silence. We don't want to broadcast to the enemy what we're doing. So with that said, everybody be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.